steps back in the pocket, being chased, hit, down he goes. Marco Coleman got him to the 35-yard line.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Carry Limousine, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Let's get the show started.
Here are Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper.
So the Jaguars lose it 24-14 in Houston. And we'll have some time to think things over. Go to your room and think about what you've done, young man.
Time out.
That's sort of where we are right now with this, especially the offense. I mean, the defense has been good to very good to fantastic, as it was on Monday night. Boy, the offense. I mean, just some of it I put on the players. Some of it, they got to be coached up better, game plan, improving throughout the season. I think there are some tools there. I think there are more tools that probably need to be added in. But I think there are enough tools that they need to be better than they are right now, where they're averaging 12, 13 points a game.
And when you pull your tools out, they got to work properly also. You know?
Sharpen those tools.
Sharpen your tools.
Yeah, and that's part of it as well. All right, we will take some of your calls, as well as if you want to tweet it to me, you can at Cole Pepper, C-O-L-E-P-E-P-P-E-R. But we start off every Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show with Marco's money player. Who was the money player? Was there a money player today?
It wasn't, but I went with the big play guy, and that was Mr. Sessions. I mean, that was a heck of a play to get cut, get up, cause the fumble, and then be in the right spot to be able to be the recipient, because the big guys can't outrun anybody. You know, I thought Sessions, you know, coming on those blitzes, they found a way to have him be effective in that defense, and that's bringing him on those blitzes. That's my money play today.
Jaguar season ticket holders are going to be pretty grumpy, I would expect, right now. 2-6, had
rightfully
higher expectations.
So. Rightfully so.
Let me just share a little something with them that will make them feel perhaps just the itsy-titsy.
Big discounts?
Well, a little bit of a discount. Season ticket holders, you get paid at the pump. When you buy 10 gallons or more of Gate gasoline, show your Jaguars rewards card and your receipt to the cashier for your coupon worth $2 in Jagbucks, redeemable for game day concessions and merchandise.
Mm.
So, I don't know how many times you fill up your tank in the course of a week, one or two, three times, whatever.
Jacksonville, just going to the grocery store is a long hike.
Depends on what it could be. Hey, save a few bucks when you come to the next Jaguars game. All right, we'll take time out. Your calls when we come back. Tweets as well will be in the Twitterverse. Oh, boy.
Mm.
There's some thinking to do. You got a lot of splaining to do. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show after this time out here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Hey, help our military stay connected to loved ones by bringing a gently used cell phone to the November 27th Jaguars Military Appreciation Game. You'll provide a member of our overseas military with a 60-minute phone card. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's start it off. Marco, you ready to take some calls?
Let's go.
Let's do it. David is in Orange Park, and he'll lead us off here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. David, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's happening, right, David?
All right, I'm gonna ask you the question that everybody's wanting to know but probably is afraid to ask. I've got a friend of mine whose wife is a real estate lady, and she says that Del Rio's house has already been sold in Ponte Vedra. I want to know if that's a fact or not. Do you think he's gone by the bye week?
By the way, I think he sold his house last year and moved into a different place. So that's not like it's a recent thing. But
all right, he's gone by the bye week? And I really think that we have some really good players here, but I really have got to put this squarely on the shoulders of the coaching, because even the receivers are not squaring off their routes properly. And, I mean, don't you got to be getting in the ear hole of these guys and, you know, telling them how to run their routes properly? I mean, it's just ridiculous out there, and it looks to me like it's all about coaching. Thanks.
All right, thanks for the call. I think the chances that there's a coaching change at the bye week, I'd be very surprised if it happened. Shocked, no, but I'd be close to shocked. My expectation is that if this happens, they're going, you know, if they make a coaching change, it'll be much later in the year and maybe at the end of the year.
Yeah, because, I mean, they still actually have a chance to get in the playoffs. Like the scenario you painted a little while ago, because very possibly it could happen that way. They come back, go on a two to three game winning streak as soon as they come out of the bye week,
right,
and be right back in the thick of the things. And now we're talking about, you know, what happened today is way deep in the rearview mirror. And so, you know, it's definitely – but as far as the things that these guys are doing offensively, when you hear what Mel Tucker is doing to build camaraderie and things of that nature within that defense, that does question what are you doing offensively to promote that same cohesiveness in that unit. And you just don't seem to get that kind of vibe, you know, within that group.
Well, Cecil Shorts hasn't done anything at all.
Is he still on the team?
Yeah, he was inactive today.
Okay.
He hasn't progressed at all. And by the way, I'm sorry, I'm not sitting here to tell you I'm an NFL GM or a scout, but I can tell when a guy's got some of the tools. You and I both sat there, watched the training camp practices. We both thought, hey, Shorts has got something.
Yeah, because it was just raw. He was just coming out and he was just playing football. Yeah. So there it is now. Figure out some kind of way to just use that simple talent.
I think the Jaguars have not done nearly as good enough job as they need to of finding ways to utilize, to put their players in a position to play to their strengths. You know, find a way to if a guy's great on deep balls, for instance, Jason Hill to me has been completely misused this year. He's a guy, he's a deep guy. Let him go deep.
Go deep.
They're running him on slants and stuff where it's in the middle of the field where there's going to be a lot of congestion. That's not his game. Don't ask him to do that. You know, don't ask Deji Kareem to run the power plays up the middle. Get him out in space. I know you can't just do one thing with a guy. If a player's one-dimensional, then he's almost of no use to you at all.
Right.
But you can't try to trick him every single time.
Deji is good in space. And one of the things you very rarely even see is throwing him a screen pass. Throw him a screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden you'll see how dynamic I think he can possibly be. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about not having Jennings and things of that nature.
Yeah. And
in my opinion, in as far as in the space with the ball, I think Deji's better than Jennings. Now, running the ball in between the tackles, no. There is a difference, and I think, you know, he would be a big asset to have a backup for Maurice with those type of plays. But as far as on third down and catching the ball against a linebacker and making a miss, I'll take Deji all day.
I agree. That's his style. So find a way to put him in a position where he performs in a way where you're utilizing his talents. I'll just use a comparison here. Wes Welker, right? They're not sending Wes Welker on, you know, they're putting him on short routes where he can catch it quick, make a lot of quick moves. Same. I'd use Mike Thomas just the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find the same way where you can utilize Mike Thomas in the same kind of way. And, you know, when you can use Thomas as that slot guy, he's much more effective. And I know part of that is somebody's got to play the outside receivers, but it just has not worked well on the offense. But getting back to David's question, no, I don't think you'll see a coaching change at the bye week. I would be very surprised if that were to happen. I don't believe that's – unless the coach is creating such a problem that it's setting everything back instead of just stalling progression with a franchise, I don't think there's not much good, because you're going to have to bring in – it's one of the assistants is going to have to step in. You're not going to go out and bring somebody in midseason.
It's crazy as it sounds, at 2-6, the team is still in a position to have an opportunity to win the division.
And if they had won today, it would have felt like a totally different situation. You would have felt, all right, they kind of got over the hump, and there's still some things, but – they're a game out, and now they can make. I get the frustration from folks. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Keith in Arlington, who's up next on the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show. Hey, Keith,
what's up, Keith?
How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
You guys are pretty much beat the dead horse with the offense, but it might be worse than the expansion year. Blaine Gabbert, something that I noticed about him today. Sometimes he will lead the pocket too early. He'll see the rush coming up the middle, but he'll have time to throw, but he'll lead the pocket too early. And another thing, the Mercedes, that one pass was second or third down, I think, that hit him right in the hands. And we can't get anybody open. I think I could go out there and run around and be as open as they are right now. I'm going to take that out there.
Yeah. there are a lot of times where you're not getting – you know, enough separation. But there are also times when guys are getting open and Gabbert's throwing it and they're not catching it. And whether they're not used to having the ball come out that quickly or whether it's got more mustard on it than they're used. Whatever it is, catch the football.
Remember
pictures of Antonio Freeman's hands catching passes from you know, his fingers. He had two hands worth of Torrey Holt fingers.
There it is.
Right? Because throwing, catching from far. Just catch the ball. You're a receiver.
Catching with his hands. And that goes into coaching. You know, you see a lot of times with not only the Jaguars wide receivers, but a lot of wide receivers letting the ball get to their body. I think a big reason why he's a defensive player, though, why I think it was Landry or Lowry that had the missed interception on the touchdown.
Yeah.
Waiting for the ball to get to him. You know, go to the ball. Don't wait till the ball gets there. You know, go attack the ball. And that's some of the things that the wide receiver. And then when a ball is coming, you know, it is a possible interception, you become a defender now. Now you have to knock the ball down, help the quarterback out also, trying to fit a ball into a tight space. And those things are all about being taught and coached. So you have to ask the question, what's being taught?
Yeah. Well, that's an excellent question to ask at this point. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Lucas in Maryland. Where in Maryland are you, Lucas?
I'm in Southern Maryland.
Okay.
But I got a comment and a question. First, you know, it's easy to say, we should have started Gabbert off the start, which we should have. You know, it's easy to talk about all these play calls, but you got to talk about things you can do now. Now, I think, if you look at, I mean, I love Deji Kareem. Y'all are talking about him. But you got to look at how you use him. Why is he even on kick return? He barely even gets the ball to the 20 every time. I haven't seen him bust one all season. You know, we got explosive guys. We got Mike Thomas. You know, why is he still on kick return? And then is there no one else out there that can supplement MJD? And why are we running it on second and 20? I don't understand it.
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem on a second and 20 because what you're trying to do is get it to something manageable. I get that. Mix it up every now and again, sure, but I don't have a huge problem with
Daisy.
That. But that's probably not what you're looking for. Unless you're going to run something to the edge or screen pass, something like that,
exactly.
Where you're going to get him that way.
Mm-hmm.
Deji has shown that he can be a very good kick returner. I think half of the problem is Deji, and part of the problem is the blocking has not been particularly consistent in terms of the kickoff return.
The special teams today did not help. You know,
no.
You figured the Deji's returns were bad. He didn't have really good returns at all today, inside the 15 to 10 yard line and things of that nature. And the coverage on the punts. You know, these guys, you had maybe one. They had the one good play on the punt coverage where Kasim Osgood came down and made the tackle. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I was holding my breath every time Jacoby Ford got the ball. Special teams didn't help. They even, you know, made it more difficult with the field position they created for Houston.
800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Jason. Bartram Springs is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jason, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I know everyone's talking about this coaching change thing, but, I mean, unless you can put in someone who's going to be your long-term coach now, I mean, what is an interim coach going to do for you? I mean, how is that really going to help the team this year unless he's your long-term guy?
Exactly. The only thing that would benefit is if you felt like maybe one of your assistants was a strong candidate as a head coach, and then you would say kind of give him a chance to audition in that role in some regard. But I don't think that making a coaching change in midseason is likely to make much of a difference in a team.
I mean, even if you do that and he goes like 4-4, now you just don't have as good of a draft pick next year. I mean, really, which I guess isn't really what we want as optimistic fans, but let's just put Mojo on IR and save him for next year and have at it. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Put him on IR.
With hurt feelings,
said they still
what?
Have a chance. Yeah, it is really crazy. At 2-6, the team is not out of the playoff hunt. You can't say – you can't just scrap the season.
Well, mathematically out of it.
No, not at all.
But listen,
things can happen. You don't know what's going to happen with Houston.
So what if they were mathematically eliminated in 2 weeks?
Well, then you might have to really – there's some decisions that have to be made. Now you're really preparing.
So you think
for
it's just about you think it's just about the math.
It's about the math in the season. If there is some hope for the season, for some things to get done with this season, you keep stuff going like it is.
All right, 800-355-NFL1. If you're a parent or guardian of a girl 6 to 17 years of age, stop by your local Bell store and register your child to become a member of the Junior Roar, performing at halftime during the Jags Bucks game December 11th. Registration is now through November 6th. For official rules, visit your nearby Bell store and text BBQ to 72239 And enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Your calls and tweets right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Quick update on some of the scores. Other games going on around the National Football League right now. In Toronto, Buffalo has a 13-0 lead over Washington at the break. Good news is, because of the exchange rate, it's only like a 10-0 lead in Canadian points. But Buffalo with a lead over Washington. Detroit absolutely thumping the Denver Broncos, 24-3.
Come on, Tebow.
Matthew Stafford's got two touchdown passes. And, you know, hey, it's been a good weekend for the Bulldogs over the Gators, and Stafford trying to continue that. Pittsburgh, a 17-7 lead on the Patriots. Both Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger have thrown touchdown passes. Big Ben's got two of them now, and is a 17-7 Pittsburgh lead late in the second quarter. San Francisco getting it done against Cleveland, as expected. Alex Smith with a touchdown pass to Michael Crabtree. Frank Gore has a four-yard touchdown run, and early on in this ball game, Gore has 103 yards on 19 carries, and they're just in the first half. Who was it took him in the...
Yeah, it was him.
Cincinnati. Hey, Seattle is on a burner right now. They've scored 3 points again.
Ooh.
After a 6-3 loss last week, they trailed 10-3. Hey, they got it in the first half. Andy Dalton with a touchdown pass to Jerome Simpson on a touchdown of 14 yards for Cincinnati. And with 3:18 to play in the first half, the Bengals have that 10-3 lead. Tonight, Dallas against Philadelphia. Monday night, as San Diego traveling to Kansas City. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Kevin in Savannah, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm good. How about those Yellow Jackets, Marco?
Go Jackets. We can't wait to see. You know, it's going to be a really hot one when those Bulldogs roll to Atlanta, too. You know that, right?
Oh, we got Virginia Tech before that.
We're going to smash them. We're going to kill Virginia Tech.
That's right. I just want to state that, you know, it's kind of shows how, you know, I'm glad Garrard's gone, but it just kind of shows how good of a quarterback he was to make this dirt cutter directed offense look respectable in any sense of the word. I mean, it's a joke what Cutter's doing to the offense, and it's the same players you had with Garrard except for the quarterback, and you know it's just abysmal, and the finger needs to be pointed at him and the coaching staff.
Well, you can point the finger at the quarterback, and certainly he's not played, you know, particularly well, but when you're looking at the quarterback, you don't just judge. He's not a finished product, right? I mean, that's, you have a rookie quarterback. You know there's going to be some ups and downs. So what you want is, over time, over the season, that he improves, that he takes, you know, that number one, he shows you he's got the physical tools to do what he needs to do. Number two, he's got the mental acuity to do what he needs to do. And number three, that he can get that done under pressure, in, you know, when things break down and so forth. Here are the things I like about what I've seen out of Blaine Gabbert so far. Very strong arm. I think he reads defenses very well. He has a very good awareness of what's happening in the course of the ball game. He's athletic. He can move and get away from pressure with his feet. Here's what I don't like so far, and what I think he has to work on. I think he's got to be better at understanding where he is in the pocket, finding that little soft spot in the pocket so he can deliver a pass rather than escaping early. Number two, he's got to be better in the red zone. You know, when there's quicker decisions and the quicker action. He's got to be more effective. Now, part of that, too, is guys have to catch the ball when it's thrown to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I love his anticipation. I love how he gets the ball out quickly, how, you know, he makes his read. He's not looked overwhelmed at any time to me, as do you.
No, but I think that the biggest problem when you talk about Cutter, Maurice Jones-Drew, 18 carries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see more. And now they did work him into the passing game a little bit more today, flanked him out a couple of times, in fact. And let me take a look at the numbers here, receiving-wise. Just the one catch, they targeted him a couple of times. You need to have a little bit more, a little something else out of Maurice Jones-Drew in terms of the number of carries. I mean, you saw him get more carries. It was more of a slugfest game. Part of it is having more offensive plays. You know, that's certainly an issue as well. When you look at the number of plays the Jaguars ran, they ran just 58 plays compared to the Texans' 71 in the ballgame. Jaguars need to have more offensive plays. That means they need to convert third downs more often. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Lee in St. Nicholas, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Lee, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. How about yourself?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, just a quick point. You know, I want to talk about Del Rio a little bit. I had the opportunity to meet Del Rio and all the coaches a number of years ago. And, you know, it's really funny because our conversation basically was, he was talking about John Henderson, and we'll all cut his ass. Well, how about, excuse me for using that language, how about we cut his butt? You know, he's got no coaches. His first 5 years there, he got rid of more coaches than everybody in the entire league did that kept their job. So why don't we cut him?
Well, and if he doesn't win this year,
At the end of the year. He's picked Mr. Weaver's pocket like there ain't no tomorrow.
Well, I don't think there's anybody who would disagree with your sentiment about if they don't win this year, then, and, you know, making a change is perfectly reasonable.
You know, I mean, I'm seeing, you know, and I'm so frustrated right now. Okay, benefit of the doubt, let the kid grow at quarterback, understand that, but I'm not seeing it. They don't have the coach. Do you realize when Green Bay won the first Super Bowl, you know how many coaches they had?
Well, that's ancient history now. That doesn't. That's not the point.
You can say that, but you know how many coaches they have?
It was five, something like that?
It was seven.
Yeah.
How many coaches do they have now?
Yeah. Well, and how many coaches does everybody have?
No. How many coaches do they have now? Answer the question.
I'd had what? Listen.
20.
Don't.
26.
Okay. It's not 26, but you know, here's the point is this, and don't get all worked up to me because I didn't know. I don't have the roster of the coaches right in front of me. I mean, that's. I understand you're frustrated. I'm undefeated on the radio. Don't take it out on me. The point is this, that, you know, you can be frustrated about the coaching or whatever else. It's going to play out. It's something. Making that decision now isn't going to change the season, and it's going to play out. If they don't make it, you know, a huge turnaround, I think you'll see a change.
You're going to have to.
I mean, if they do, then you probably won't. I mean, you know, that's – let's wait till it plays out. That's all. All right, 800-355-NFL1. We go from one Lee to another. Let's go to Lee on the north side, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Good, Lee.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you, about 3 or 4 years ago, the Jaguars were 12-4
yep.
in the regular season. Then the next year, they went 5-11.
Yep.
And I think Jack Del Rio started playing general manager. Okay? Then it was Shaq Harris was the problem. Then a few years ago, they said that the offense was mediocre. They were 8-8. They had no defense, and they were still in playoff contention with David Garrard. Something tells me that David Garrard was effective in a lot of dysfunction in terms of the coaching staff. So, in my opinion, the problem is Jack Del Rio, Gene Smith, and Wayne Weaver. I see those guys as three stooges. And the Jacksonville fans are duped if they think that Blaine Gabbert, who's afraid to take a hit, who is chicken in the pocket, is the answer to getting them to the playoffs.
So you've made that call now, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's scared. I've never seen a guy who was scared in the pocket get some courage. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with your assessment that he's scared in the pocket. I think you're talking about a guy who was used to playing in the shotgun and he's not used to having the traffic around him, so he's got to learn some of that awareness. And
how do you go from 12-4 to 5-11 and bring the general manager that got you enough good players to make you a playoff caliber team, feared by every team in the league? You go from 12-4 to 5-11 and you blame the general manager for the talent that he had on the team. How do you do it?
Are we doing a post game show 5 years ago?
No,
what's going on here?
The same guys who are causing the problem then are causing the problem now. That's my point.
All right. Well, and if you're blaming the coaches, if you're gonna blame the general manager, you're gonna have to find me. In fact, I want to give you a little my thought process in general manager versus coach evaluation. Okay. if the general manager is in charge of acquiring talent, as is the case here in Jacksonville, and the coach is in charge of coaching the talent, which means improving it, maximizing it, that sort of thing, then when you start assessing the general manager, you have to look and say, did the general manager bring in the right guys? And let's just use a short-term view in terms of the defense this offseason. Marco, do you think that the moves that were made in terms of bringing in free agents on the defensive side of the football this offseason have been positive moves? Have they been the right moves?
It's been a very positive move, yep, in that regard. Yep. You know, but defensively last year, Jack was controlling the defense.
No. I'm talking about personnel.
Okay. Right. Well, personnel-wise, yes, that was a big upgrade.
Okay. Have the draft picks been lived up to their draft billing?
Yeah.
Right? Some, yes.
Some, they're some, okay. Some, I think some of them were a little
Terrence,
higher.
Terrence Knighton certainly has.
Yeah.
Cox, I think.
Cox.
I think
the first round picks are the ones that I'm more, yeah.
Okay, so first round picks being Uche Monroe, who's, yeah, I would expect a little more out of him, although he's been, you know, a little better since he's got the neck thing going here. Number one. Second, Alualu, to me, is playing very well, particularly on a bum leg. I think Alualu is a hit as far as the first round pick.
I think he's okay. All three, you figure Uche Monroe, Alualu, and Blaine, yeah, all top 10 draft picks. And in my view, top 10 draft picks are difference makers. And, you know, they're not really different. They're just guys. I think they could been later picks. I don't think they actually make big differences coming in.
I think Alualu is making a difference, and because I think that Jaguars defense is built on, right now, up the middle. You know, like it was with the Stroud Henderson, Mike Peterson days.
He's not as stout as those guys. I mean,
he's a different kind of player. I'm not saying but my point is, that's when you have a strong defense, and you played on a lot of very good defenses, you've got to have guys who occupy and disrupt in the middle, and guys, you know, defensive tackles and middle linebacker, or nose guard and inside linebacker if you're playing a 3-4. You got to be strong up the middle in order to you know, be a consistent defense, because you can have all the pass rushers and coverage guys you want. If you can't stop them coming up the middle.
Right, but the problem comes in, at least with Tyson in particular, is when he's teams like the Ravens and the Steelers, when they're coming downhill. Now, a team like the here with the Texans, they're a zone blocking scheme, so they're going sidewise.
So are the Ravens.
No, they were mashing.
Ravens use the exact same approach. They just don't do it as well.
They're sorry. Plus, they're big and slow. They don't have the type of guys to do his own type
of blocking.
They're
making that change this year.
But I just, like I said, just top 10. I'm not saying Tyson's not a bad. I'm not saying he's a bad player by no means. Not. I just don't think top 10. I just don't think he was a player to be picked that high.
We have a disagreement on that. But then you talk about the other picks, Mike Thomas, Knighton.
Cox,
and so forth.
But then you look at the other guys that were picked prior to, Mercedes.
But we're assessing the general manager. That was not the general manager. Now
the prior.
So you got to bring in talent, and then it's got to be improved, or it's got to be maximized. One or the other. You know, I mean, that's and in my opinion, I think there has been talent that's been brought in here, and I don't think it's been maximized enough.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
Well, let me ask you, Tice was here last season, right?
Now you're going to make...
Was Tice here last year or the year before?
Year before, I think.
The year before, okay. Yeah. Some reason he just crossed my mind. I don't know why.
800-355-NFL1. We'll take time out. Back with more calls after this. This is the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. We'll have an injury update for you, plus also the carry of the day. It's all straight ahead, right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Reminder that Tuesday, November 8th, J.D. Byrider invites you to their dealership at 8864 Atlantic Boulevard to have cookies with the Jaguars rookies. They'll be here from noon till 2 signing autographs and sharing cookies with you. Time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. Marco, injury updates are going to be few and far between, I think, for the next couple of weeks, because the Jaguars are not bound by league rules to divulge those in the bye week. But Blaine Gabbert had the ribs. Rackley had knee or ankle or something, but he came back in. Both those guys returned. How much of a factor did you think the ribs were, if at all, for Gabbert throwing?
It didn't seem like it was a problem. I mean, as soon as he came back in, he threw a nice little bullet throw. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think that affected him in the game. I mean, even showed a little extra toughness, you know, started talking trash and everything. How about that?
Yeah, he did not like, I think it was Cushing, coming in diving low over by the sidelines. Yeah. And I believe the cameras and microphones might have caught him expressing his discontent with that particular move. Time for the carry of the day, presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Who's the carry of the day, Mark?
MJD with six. You know, he got the team on the board with the set, with his scoring rushing touchdown. So, got to go with Maurice Jones.
Once again, it's almost a clean sweep so far with
pretty much
with MJD in that award. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Ryan in Green Cove, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Ryan, how you doing?
Good. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick question, and then I'll take it off the air. Seems like, I don't know what's going on with Gabbert, but it seems like there's a few throws that he's just not stepping into it.
I think that's accurate.
That back foot awkwardly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some of that comes with being a guy who was a shotgun formation passer in college. That's something he's going to have to improve on. When the coaches talk about his footwork needing to be better, that's one of the things that they're talking about is, you know, striding into it, stepping up, that sort of thing. And, you know, if you watched him at all play at Missouri, and unfortunately I saw him play and beat my Jayhawks quite a bit, you know, he'd take the snap in the shotgun and then kind of sit back there and direct traffic and then fire it. A lot of stuff quickly out of his hand, that sort of thing. That's something he's going to have to improve on. Now, the good news is he just barely turned 22 years of age, right? So he's a young quarterback who's going to have some time to develop. And the other thing is he's getting a lot of real-time experience out there working in the, you know, in games, and it's not just in practice. He's getting the activity in games. So if you take a big picture look, step back and take a wider scope look at things, then I think you'd say, okay, at least he's getting that opportunity to improve. He's got to get the right coaching, and he's got to work on it. He's got to be dedicated to working on it himself. And if he is, I think we've seen he's got the physical tools to be able to get it done.
He's got to apply. I think use him to his strengths. Please, if that's the deal, if that's what he's most comfortable with doing, and you're trying to get a team to the playoffs, then play to the strength of your player, what he can do. You know, you watch the Carolina Panthers, they're running an option. They do a lot of things. They look a lot like the Auburn Tigers. You know what I mean? So I don't understand why you don't, you know, just go ahead and play to his strengths. Let him, as he gradually works to where he can do the things that you want him to do, allow him to do the things that he does best to give your team the best chance to win.
By the way, what's Carolina's record?
They're 2-6, but I'm going to have to say, this is not Cam Newton's fault, the kicker. Today. No,
that missed the chance to tie it up. Yeah.
Missed the chance. You know, you got guys, you know, getting penalties. He's playing lights out.
He's putting up bigger numbers. Certainly has better weapons.
That's another. Yeah. Exactly. But it's another case where the surrounding cast just is not supporting the young guy.
And again, is a more experienced quarterback. I mean, talk about bouncing around Florida, then junior college, and,
So why do you pick a guy like that with the first top 10 pick, though?
Well,
Gabbert.
Why do you pick? Well,
I mean, when you know that
Newton was already gone, he was the first pick of the draft.
I mean, but you still had Dalton, you still have Ponder, you still have the guy that's in Tennessee.
No, Locker was picked before.
Locker was picked before Gabbert. Yep. I mean, so you figure there were some guys that could have been picked that, you know, you want to look at their age, but Gabbert still played, what, 3 years in college, right?
I think it was a 2-year start. I'll have to go back and look at those numbers specifically because he followed up
for three, right?
Chase Daniel, yeah. And he true junior, though. So he's young. And when you're drafting a quarterback, you want to pick the guy who's eventually going to be the best guy, not the guy who's going to be the best on day one, but won't necessarily be the best guy, you know, later on. And let me just make sure here. Locker was taken with the 8th pick, and then Gabbert at number 10, Ponder was 12, and Dalton went at second round 35. So, and then Kaepernick right after that at 36. So we'll see how it all plays out. Yeah, he's in San Francisco backing up. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Jesse on the west side. Jesse, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing, Jesse?
Jesse.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I got two things I just wanted to say. For one, I believe the coaching needs to go. I mean, I believe that it's horrible, the calls, like you guys were just stating, you know, how they're not doing the things that he did in college or doing what gives them the best chance to win. And then it's got to be frustrating for Gabbard, every time he goes to throw to a receiver, the guy's right there. We get no separation. I mean, there's times where I believe I could play better at receiver than some of these guys are playing.
Yeah, you don't have the kind of gaps that Jimmy Smith was providing once upon a time, or that Calvin Johnson creates, or some of these other. But you look at the top quarterbacks. The top quarterbacks don't need as big a window. You know, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, these guys can operate with a smaller window.
Yeah.
But then the guy's got to catch it. I mean, catch the football. What is something like 20 drops or something like that?
Yes, it's too many. Way too many. That's the deal.
Yes, Gabbert needs to get better, and I think he will.
But the other guys,
the receivers, got to help him out.
They got to help.
Absolutely. 800-3. Jesse, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to John on the north side. Is up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Hey, John.
Hey, hi guys.
What's that?
Can you hear me?
Yep. We got you. What's up?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got two questions basically. The first question is, I wonder whether Jack Del Rio and the management, whether they considered what kind of phase they wanted to be in, whether they wanted to make the playoffs, be strong in it, or rebuild. Because, you know, when you get a rookie quarterback in, that says you kind of want to rebuild. You want to take your time and make sure you're getting everything right as you progress. But that decision to let go of Garrard, I think, was a real, you know, bummer.
Who do you think made that decision, by the way?
I don't know who made it, but I think that Jack Del Rio had something to do with it.
Sure.
And I'm sure Wayne Weaver probably had maybe some input, but I'm not sure who did it. But I'm just saying that the whole idea was, you know, everybody's expectation was, hey, the Jaguars going to make the playoffs this year. But then when you go ahead and you lop off the head of your offense, and and then you still expect this to happen, that doesn't.
John, you're right. You're right that there's a timing thing here. That if a coach is coaching for his job, then you would think it would be strange for him to go with a rookie quarterback. But if the veteran quarterback wasn't getting it done, and the coach, you know, has got to pull that trigger and make that move, then sometimes that happens. And it's, you know.
But you know what, Cole? But to David's defense, last season, it wasn't about him not being able to get it done. The offense did adequate enough. The defense was that bad.
Agreed.
If you take this defense.
But let's not look at last year. Let's look at what he did during the preseason and in camp. And
hey, but it's a lot of veterans that you can watch during the course of the preseason and they not do well.
Yeah, but those guys, you're not worried about them if those guys have much bigger strength.
David had never
established himself as anything.
It doesn't matter what he did. He still was the quarterback that took him to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, when they were winning, he was able to do it.
Let me ask
you a question. Last season, the team was able to get things done offensively. The defense was bad.
Yeah.
They corrected that with the defense. But now you come in and you go ahead and you handicap the offense.
Do you think? But okay, Mercedes Lewis was having drop problems in the preseason.
Now, last year, he went to the Pro Bowl.
With Garrard throwing the football. I'm talking about the preseason now.
He went to the Pro Bowl last year with David.
last year, right? Agreed. So that's one of the guys who was a weapon last year.
Right.
He hasn't done anything this year to look like a Pro Bowl.
He has been bad.
Okay. I'm sorry. The guy's a pro, but he hasn't done anything in terms of catching the football to look like a Pro Bowler. Maurice Drew has been steady. At times been spectacular. Basically just steady. And they haven't really – you know, Deji Kareem is a change of pace guy. He's not a backup kind of running back. The injury to Jennings has affected that. The offensive line, they've been playing the shell game, trying to get the right people in the right places.
So let me ask you this. To the caller's point. Did David give this team the best chance to win or not?
I don't think that David would have made a substantial difference in the record at this point.
All he needed to do was probably go 8-8.
I don't know. I don't think that David Garrard takes his team to an 8-8 record. The way the offense is right now.
I think they win a couple more games this season because of that.
They might win a couple more, but I don't. Again, will to this point, would they be 4-4 at this point? I don't think so. You know, I know because.
They could.
OK, Well, if you're going to play the coulds or the woods, maybe it's possible that a unicorn would fly out of the stands and plant magic fairy dust.
But the reality of it is, where is the team right now? Like the caller's asking, what is it that you got? What is it that you're actually trying to establish? And that hasn't, that's what the fans want to know. Where is the team going?
And by the way, Marco, David Garrard's had back surgery.
Yeah.
I don't think that was.
That's because he's been laying around too long and he's been eating corn chips and got all out of shape in his belly, and he had too much in the front. They had to take care of the back.
I don't want to know about junk in the trunk or anywhere else with that, all right? 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Derek on the south side. You're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Good. How you doing?
I just
want
to make a quick comment. As far as the last caller, to piggyback what he mentioned about the separation, our receivers just aren't separating. I guess if you take a number one corner, he's going to take out the number two receiver. But when you have your 2, 3, and your 4 guys, somebody has to win those individual battles, and defenders are like stuck, like glued to our receivers, especially Mercedes Lewis. I mean, he, to me, is the tight end version of Byron Leftwich. He just don't really separate.
Yeah, there hadn't been a whole lot of separation top to bottom, really.
I saw Heath Miller. Heath Miller made a play today, and I want to point it out. He was covered. He turned around here like a quick pivot step, and he shook his guy. I mean, I played basketball. I know that move. You take a quick pivot, you fake to the left, and you go to the right, and you shake the guy. And Mercedes Lewis can't do that.
Well, I don't think the answer is he can't.
He's got to catch the ball after he does it.
He's got to catch it when he does it. And last year, if you look at it, most of the plays that Mercedes made, big plays, were either finding the soft spot in the zone or in the red zone, going up over a guy, just out physically. I mean, it's not happening. And that's one of the many problems with the offense right now. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. We'll come back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars lose it 24-14 to the Houston Texans. All right, the bye week is here. What, if anything, can the Jaguars do to improve over the course of this bye week, particularly when you're talking about having mandatory 4 days off from the new collective bargaining agreement, or the Club Med agreement, as some would call it? What can the Jaguars do, if anything, to get better on offense?
What Dirk Cutter could do is just get into Gabbert's ear, whisper to him, you need to get in contact with the wide receivers and get on the same page and just work on the passing game and work on those steps that you're not familiar with, being under center and dropping back. Make sure you got a load of film to watch over the next 4 days to be better. It's like, at 2-6, these dudes still have a chance to win a division. And because you never know what's going to happen the rest of the way with Houston. You just don't know. I mean, they're just one injury away from not being able to, be as successful as we think they will be for the end of the season.
So you're going to bet Ed's house that the Jaguars win?
I'm not going to do that.
Ed's
I'll
happy
bet
about
I'll
that.
Bet Ed's house. Yeah, I'm gonna bet my, I won't bet my own. I'll definitely bet Ed's.
All right, coming up this week, we will have Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith on Monday, tomorrow. I'll be in here with the general manager from 6 until 7. Jack Del Rio Show, 6 until 7 on Tuesday. Ryan Sexton and the head coach. And then Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on Wednesday, 6 until 8. Brian, Jeff, and John Osher. We'll talk about the Jaguars going forward. Jaguars had a huge opportunity today to turn what was looking like a lackluster season into a season of promise and hope. All they had to do was win in Houston on Battle Red Day, and they would have been a game out, halfway home, with a game in hand against the division leaders. Instead, a loss drops them to 3 games out, and they're going to need a lot of help. And the help first starts with getting themselves some help on offense and getting things headed in the right direction. Defenses look good. Offense has a long way to go. For Marco Coleman, for Ed Rocco, for Linda Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night. And happy Halloween from Jaguar Central.